堂听 class.com。
Now we will begin part A with the first conversation. Number one.
Jane was really upset that you didn't invite her to your graduation ceremony.
Well, you know, they only let you invite 4 people, but as it turns out, my brother can't go after all, and she's next on my list. What does the man mean? Number two.
Do you know what time the train goes into the city?
Normally it's every 20 minutes, but this is the weekend, so I'm not sure.
What does the woman imply the man should do? Number three.
Could you do me a favor? I really need to get this notebook to Kathy, and I know she's in your chemistry class this afternoon, so I was wondering...
Not a problem. Consider it done.
What will the woman probably do? Number four.
There you are, finally. We'd better get moving if we expect to get a seat.The lecture starts in 15 minutes, and we've still got a long walk ahead of us.
These things never start on time. And anyway, I don't think it'll be that crowded.
What does the man imply? Number five.
I studied French in high school, but I never really learned it until I spent a summer in Paris.
Really, using the language makes all the difference, doesn't it?
What does the man imply? Number six.
I waited until midnight for you to call last night. You know, I really need those notes.
Oh, I'm sorry. I got caught up in a conversation with my roommate and completely forgot. But you know what? I've got them right here.
What will the man probably do? Number seven.
Can you believe that Dr. Foster is actually giving us an extra week to hand in our papers?
That's time I can certainly use, believe me. I'm not even halfway through.
What does the woman mean? Number eight.
My parents want to come visit next weekend, but I've checked every hotel in the area, and they all seem to be full.
Well, why not call the Cliffside Inn?It's not so near the campus, but it's always got a few vacancies.
What does the man suggest the woman do? Number nine.
I heard you're looking for someone to pick up your mail while you're away at the conference next week.
Oh, could you?
What does the woman want the man to do?
Number 10. I just got back from the campus bookstore. Every single textbook I need this semester is sold out.
That's what you get for waiting until the day classes begin.
What does the woman imply?
Number 11. I'm sorry, I shouldn't have volunteered to help you memorize your lines for the play.I still haven't finished writing my essay.
That's okay. Sue said she would help me rehearse if you couldn't do it.
What will the woman probably do next? Number 12.
You know, I was really hoping to get that journalism internship at the Times, but now it's only 2 weeks before it starts, and I still haven't heard from them.
Well, don't worry about it. There must be plenty of other places that would be happy to have you.
What does the woman imply the man should do? Number 13. You know, Tim's been acting really funny lately. Ever since he won that tennis tournament last week and got photographed in the local paper, well, he's kind of changed. Like he's hard to talk to now.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I guess it's all gone to his head.
What does the woman say about Tim? Number 14.
If I can keep up the pace, I'll graduate in just 3 years.
That might be true, but I'd never want to give up my summer breaks.
What does the man imply? Number 15.
I'm heading over to the theater box office to get tickets for this weekend's concert before you're all gone.
I hate to tell you this, but from what I read in the paper this morning, you're already too late.
What does the man imply? Number 16.
It's no use. I'll never learn to swim as well as you do.
Don't give up so easily. Remember, I practically grew up in the water.
What does the man mean? Number 17.
You need to decide what you're going to do your research project on.
I've got the background information together. Now all I need is to find the right subjects to observe.
What does the woman mean? Number 18.
What's the problem? Don't you have your apartment key?
It's a good thing I leave a spare with my neighbor. I'm going to have to stop by and ask him for it so I can get in and get my books.
What will the man probably do next? Number 19.
I'm having a hard time keeping up in my biology class. I'm seriously considering hiring a tutor.
A word of advice? Don't make the mistake I made last semester and wait until after the midterm exam to do it.
What does the woman imply? Number 20.
We hope you enjoy your stay here at the hotel. Here's your room key, and by the way, checkout time is 12 noon.
Oh, thanks for reminding me. It's a lovely hotel, and I'm not at all in a hurry to leave, but I wouldn't want to be charged for a second night.
What will the woman probably do? Go on to the next page. Number 21.
I'm thinking about spending my spring break skiing at Central Mountain. You were there last year. How was it?
To be completely honest, it left a lot to be desired.
What does the man imply? Number 22.
Did I read in the campus newspaper that your roommate was named the top student in the history department?
That's highly unlikely, considering that her field is chemistry.
What does the woman mean? number 23.
I know it's short notice, but do you think you could proofread this lab report for me tonight?
Talk about the last minute. What can be inferred about the man?
Number 24.
I've got to give my oral presentation in class tomorrow, and I am so nervous.
Maybe you just need a trial run. Why don't you use me as your audience?
What does the man imply the woman should do? Number 25.
You know, I had to leave the basketball game halfway through last night, so I never found out who won.
Well, don't look at me. I was just a few minutes behind you.
What does the woman mean? Number 26.
This salad needs something to give it some more flavor, don't you think?
You're right. Tell me what you'd like and I'll run over to the corner store. I need to get a few other items anyway.
What does the man offer to do? Number 27.
Jeff, I am so sorry. I don't know what I did with your Spanish dictionary. Of course, I'll buy you a new one.
Don't be silly. I've had that ragged old thing since junior high school, and I hardly ever use it anyway.
What does the man imply? Number 28.
Can I expect to see you at the party at the art gallery Friday night? The festivities begin at 6, and it'll probably last a few hours.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't miss it. Soccer practice doesn't end till 7, but then I'll be there.
What does the woman mean? Number 29.
Are you crazy? How come you blurted that out in front of Dr. Smith?
I don't know. I guess he just caught me off guard.
What does the woman mean? Number 30.
I hear you've got your own studio now. Are you still painting in oils?
I am, and I've just sold 3 pieces. And another one's going to be shown in an exhibit next month.
What can be inferred about the man? This is the end of Part A. Go on to the next page. We will begin Part B with the first conversation. Questions 31 through 35. Listen to a conversation between a student employee and an administrator in a cafeteria.
Hi, Robin. Mind if I eat lunch with you?
No, Mr. Evans, not at all.
Thanks. I just heard that you're studying nutrition, and you've got quite a bit of experience working in the cafeteria, so I wonder if you'd be interested in a small project we're doing this term.
What's the project all about?
More and more students have been deciding not to buy the meal plans here, and we want to attract them back. So I want to hear what students would like. Your job would be to find out. And, of course, I'd like to hear any of your own ideas.
Well, if the menus were changed, then maybe I wouldn't have to listen to so much criticism. You know, I've taken several nutrition classes, and everyone there sees me when I serve food here. So they always complain to me about the food.
That makes you perfect for the job. Would you be interested?
I'm not sure. What sorts of changes are you thinking of?
I'd like to make some changes in the way we prepare our food. For example, just look at what we had to choose from today. You got a fried hamburger that's dripping in oil, and I got fried chicken. They both contain too much fat.
But you'd better not get rid of them. They're everybody's favorite.
Well, we can certainly keep them, but we need to give the people who are health conscious some choices. For example, we could also prepare chicken without the fatty skin and serve it on some rice with a light sauce. Do you think that would appeal to students?
Well, I'd like that. But you're right. You'd better find out what others think. Oh, sorry. I've got to get back to work. I'd like to hear more, though. I'll drop by your office later.
Okay. See you then.
Number 31. What are the speakers mainly discussing? Number 32. What is the woman's current job in the cafeteria? Number 33. What does the man want the woman to do? Number 34. What does the man suggest the cafeteria do? Number 35. How does the woman probably feel about the man's project? Questions 36 through 39. Listen to a conversation between two students.
Hey, Alice, you'll never guess who I met last week. Barbara Johnson.
You don't mean the Barbara Johnson who directed the choir that performed on campus last weekend?
That's right.
But she's so famous. How'd you get to meet her?
Well, you know how in that program they handed out, they printed the words to the choral pieces along with the translations? I found all these mistakes in the Latin text. You know, typographical.
Wait a minute. You were actually reading the words? Wow, I was so caught up in the performance that I never even looked at the program.
I like to follow the text while I'm listening. It helps me understand what they're singing about. Anyway, while they were doing those Latin pieces, I noticed all these mistakes, mostly spelling errors. But it was really annoying. So after the concert, when all those people were crowding around backstage to see her and the soloist...
Yeah, I remember. There were dozens of people waiting to get their autographs.
Well, I waited till the end, and... then, when I met Barbara Johnson, I showed her the mistakes I found.
Was she upset?
Upset. She actually thanked me and said if I send her a copy of the corrected text, she'll revise it for the next time they sing those pieces. And even print my name in the acknowledgments of the program editor.
Wow. Your Latin must be pretty good to find all those errors.
I should hope so. I'm majoring in classics.
Number 36. What is the man eager to tell the other student? Number 37. What can be inferred about the two students? Number 38. What was Barbara Johnson's reaction to the man's comments? Number 39. What will the man probably send to Barbara Johnson? This is the end of Part B. Go on to the next page. Begin Part C with the first talk. Questions 40 through 42. Listen to a talk given by a history professor.
The cattle ranching industry started in the western United States in the late 1800s. As the industry developed, so did the horse riding contests that we call rodeos. Rodeos weren't always the big entertainment shows that we see nowadays. The first ones were a small contest started as a form of competition among people historically referred to as cowboys, although they did include both men and women. One duty of the cowboys was to guide herds of cattle from the grassy ranges into towns along the railroad lines where the cows were loaded onto trains. The cowboys would gather near these cow towns to compete for the unofficial title of best horse rider. They would demonstrate the riding skills they had learned as a matter of survival. And the audience was composed mainly of other cowboys who watched the competitors critically, since they knew what the events were all about. Rodeo contests took a different turn in the 1890s, when organizers began to hold cowboy sports during yearly agricultural fairs. What was different was the audience. It consisted mostly of people who were unfamiliar with life on the range. They were amazed by the skill of the riders and the intelligence of the horses. The rodeos at agricultural fairs became so popular that ranchers and business people began to organize rodeos as independent events, separate from fairs. The organizers built large arenas and earned money by requiring spectators to pay for admission. One of the most notable rodeos of this type is still held annually in Wyoming. It's called Frontier Days. While Frontier Days is not the first independent rodeo, it is the oldest annual show, taking place each year since 1897.
Number 40. What is the talk mainly about? Number 41. What can be inferred about the earliest rodeos? Number 42. What is significant about Frontier Days? Questions 43 through 46. Listen to part of a talk in a biology class.
We've been looking at fear from a biological perspective, and someone asked whether the tendency to be fearful is genetic. Well, some studies done with mice indicate that mammals do inherit fearfulness to some degree. In one study, for instance, a group of mice was placed in a brightly lit open box with no hiding places. Some of the mice wandered around the box and didn't appear to be bothered about being so exposed, but other mice didn't move. They stayed up against one wall, which indicated that they were afraid. Well, when fearful mice, or you might say anxious mice, like the ones who stayed in one place, when mice like these were bred with one another repeatedly, after about 12 or so generations, then all of the offspring showed similar signs of fearfulness. And even when a newborn mouse from this generation was raised by a mother and with other mice who were not fearful, that mouse still tended to be fearful as an adult. Now, why is this? Well, it's thought that specific genes in an animal's body have an influence on anxious behavior. These are genes that are associated with particular nerve cell receptors in the brain. And the degree of overall fearfulness in a mammal seems to depend in large part on the presence or absence of these nerve cell receptors. And this appears to apply to humans as well, by the way. But while a tendency towards anxiety and fear may well be an inherited trait, the specific form that the fear takes has more to do with an individual's environment. So a particular fear, like the fear of snakes or the fear of spiders, say, is not genetic. But the overall tendency to have fearful responses is.
Number 43. What is the talk mainly about? Number 44. How did some of the mice in the study demonstrate that they were afraid? According to the professor, What contributes to a mammal's tendency to be fearful? Number 46. Why does the professor mention snakes and spiders? Questions 47 through 50. Listen to part of a talk in class.
One type of natural spring geographers are interested in is artesian springs. Hiking through the woods, some of you may have been surprised to see water flowing from an opening in the ground that was nowhere near a stream or river. That may have been an artesian spring. To help you understand why water might flow like this from underground, I'd like to explain the two basic conditions that are necessary for their formation. The first condition is that water must be contained in an aquifer. An aquifer is an underground layer of rock or sediment that has pores or holes in it, and this porous rock allows water to flow through it freely. The aquifer must be inclined so that the upper end of it is exposed to the air at the surface of the ground. Rainwater enters it through the exposed end and travels downward to the lower portions of the aquifer. The second condition is that above and below the aquifer, there must be layers of non-porous rock or clay. These are called aquicludes, and they block or hinder the flow of water. Aquicludes prevent water from draining out of aquifers. So, let's go back to our artesian springs. They're usually located above ground near the lower end of inclined aquifers. Artesian springs are those places where some hole or crack extends from the ground's surface down through the aquiclude and into the aquifer. Now, the rainwater that had drained into the aquifer from its exposed upper end creates a buildup of pressure at the lower end. So if there's a crack in the rock, a crack that runs from the aquifer to the surface, then the pressure pushes the water up through it, and water comes trickling out of the artesian spring.
Number 47. What is the talk mainly about? Number 48. Why are aquicludes important to the development of an artesian spring? Number 49. According to the professor, how does water in an aquifer reach the ground surface? Number 50. What does the professor say about pressure? This is the end of Section 1, Listening Comprehension. Stop work on Section 1. This is a reminder. At the end of the test, the supervisor will collect all of the test books. You may not leave until all of the test books have been collected. End of recording.